There's Jack. There's his head. Let's find out what's in it.
Oh, yeah. Full weekend to recap. We're now in the part of the year where it's really just baseball, and we're getting ready for football. And, I mean, Bears rookies and quarterbacks reported on Saturday. And the veterans report tomorrow. And then the first practice is Wednesday. So we're already in football season.
Yeah. I'm ready for that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Especially after last year, it should be a lot of fun. So me and Kevin Powell are doing some training camp coverage. So,
ooh, nice.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. I've never been to Halas Hall, so that'll be a new experience on Friday. If you see me wandering around out there, tell me where to go because I'd appreciate it. Anyways, Cubs and Cardinals, 4-game set. The Yankees and the White Sox, a 4-game set. So big week for both Chicago sports teams. The White Sox are here at home right now, so we'll start with them. Of course, they were delayed because of the weather we had today. And they actually, I think they're only delayed 20 minutes after all that rain we had today. And this is on X from Brooke Fletcher. She covers the team for CHSN. And their grounds crew, Roger Bossard, I think that's how you say it. He told her that they had to squeegee 480,000 gallons of water off the field before the game today.
Oh my God.
So, and she has some videos of them getting the water off the field. It's crazy how they build these fields now, how they can drain them after they get a lot of water. So, and I have the game on. The field looks fine. So you don't see any puddles or anything out there, but it is amazing how they do that. I don't know the engineering, and
the field is grass.
Yeah. Grass and the dirt.
Amazing.
They have like drainage pipe or like drainage spots where they kind of squeegee all the water and it's supposed to drain, but that's kind of crazy. But yeah, 480,000 gallons of water. So I think it was almost 4 inches of rain. So they had quite the task. And at like 4 o'clock here, when me and Ashley called you on the, or Ashley and I called you on the phone, it was pitch black here. And then at like 6:30, it was sunny.
I know.
So
I am shocked. I mean, I empathize and sympathize with people who have lost power because it's happened to me many, many times. But how we got by this one without power going out here, I have no idea.
Yeah, I know. It was, while I was driving in, it was pretty bad. We're going only like 40 miles an hour on the Kennedy. So it's like, that's how you know it's bad when people aren't going like 90 down there. So yeah, the White Sox and Yankees are tied at 4 right now. This is a big week for the White Sox. They're starting to play a tough stretch of games here. They got 4 against the Yankees, and then they go on the road and play the Rays, who are the best. These are the two best teams in the AL right now, so seeing how they can compare. But the good news is the White Sox have a 2.5-game lead over Cleveland right now because Cleveland is only 3-7 in their last 10. So the White Sox are getting a little bit of a cushion in the AL Central. So it's good to see the young team being resilient as they've had a couple bad losses. I guess not bad losses, but disappointing losses on Friday and Saturday. But yesterday they bounced back in a big way. Munetaka Murakami had 2 homers and 6 RBIs, and I think a big reason for that is it was his bobblehead day. He had a bobblehead honoring his first career home run he hit on opening day in Milwaukee, and then he hadn't hit a home run since he returned from his hamstring injury, and then he goes for 2. And I think his parents were in town yesterday too, so a big day for Mune, as they call him on the south side. And if he's getting back to his form after the injury, the White Sox will be in good shape. And for both these teams, the trade deadline is just 1 week away. A week from today at 5 p.m. Central is the trade deadline, and it seems like this year's theme is all going to be pitching for everybody. So it'll be interesting to see the cost, how big time arms each side of town goes for. But I think every team that's in the playoff position just says they need pitching, so it's going to be a battle between everyone to try to find some arms out there. And there's only like 5 or 6 teams that are probably like for sure sellers, so it's going to be a seller's market, so it might be kind of high prices to be paid. But the White Sox and Yankees, 4-game set, it a little interesting scheduling, I guess, quirk here. The Yankees are staying in Chicago for a whole week because they're playing the Cubs at Wrigley this weekend. So 7 straight days here in Chicago for the Yankees.
You might see them walking around.
You might see them walking around. I wonder what hotel they're in. You used to be able to look that up and see where they were, and then the fans stand outside before they come out. But that's kind of nice. Like, end of July here, and you're coming to Chicago. It's a pretty good scheduling time for the Yankees. But it is kind of nice for them to be here for a full week. The Cubs are down in St. Louis, and then they come up and play the Yankees. But it's going to be big crowds all week across Chicago to see the Yanks in town. But they're tied right now with the White Sox over on the south side. The Cubs and the Cardinals were also delayed with rain, so the rain got all the way down to St. Louis as well. They started about 45 minutes ago, so they're just getting going down there. The big news for the Cubs today is they designated for assignment starting pitcher Jameson Taillon. He was on the last year of a 4-year deal, and he's been a really solid pitcher for them for the first 3 years of the contract. This year, he's getting a little older. He kind of lost some of his stuff on his pitches. He's given up 25 home runs in 76 innings, and 25 home runs is a lot for a starter to give up in a full season. And we're just about almost 3/4 of the way through the season, and he already given up 25. And with the Cubs holding the top wild card spot right now, even with some of their pitching problems, they decided to move on from him, which it makes sense from a baseball perspective, but I think it's tough for the clubhouse because of the leader he was and how well he fit in, and just the good veteran presence. But sports is full of tough decisions, so hopefully the guys can move on, and maybe Taillon gets another opportunity elsewhere. But with a team fighting in a playoff race, they have to move on from a pitcher. I think he had almost had an ERA of 6, so if you're trotting out a guy with a ERA of 6, you're going to have trouble winning his starts, and the Cubs can't be just giving away games right now with where they are in the standings and trying to hang around with the Brewers. I think they're 6 games behind Milwaukee, so we'll see. They need pitching as well, like I was saying earlier. So those two teams, the Cubs and the White Sox, one of many contenders that need a starter, and we'll see how aggressive both teams are. So we're getting into it here. Once we get to, I guess, the dog days of August and the team's really grinding through, the trade deadline can be a big spark for contenders, and it'll be fun to see both these teams buying at the deadline. It'll be fun to see if they're going head-to-head and trying to bid against each other. But yeah, that's the baseball report. We'll get some football here. Actually, wait, I got one more baseball thing, and it relates to the Yankees. I just saw this on X. The Yankees on Thursday, August 27th, are giving away to the first 18,000 fans a George Costanza calzone bobblehead, and the picture looks pretty sweet. So
nice.
There's a fun giveaway. I'm all about the giveaways. Yesterday was Moon A bobblehead day.
Yeah,
George Costanza bobblehead day. I like that when they do that stuff. And the White Sox are doing Christmas in July today at Wright Field. So I think there's Christmas music, and I think I saw somewhere the Grinch was involved in the first pitch or something like that. So you never know what you're going to get at the ballpark.
Nope, you do not.
Here's a little football, and I guess this is a full college thing, but we've seen the jersey patch, like logo or advertisement moving in baseball.
Oh, man.
And basketball has it. The NFL doesn't have it. There's a little bit in the NHL, but colleges are getting in on it now. And today, Illinois finalized a 5-year, $30 million jersey patch deal with Busey Bank. So they have Busey Bank on their jerseys. And I've seen some pictures, and they actually have done a pretty good job kind of incorporating it into like the color scheme so it doesn't stick out. Because some of these sponsorships kind of stick out, and you're like, that just doesn't go with the jersey. And you're like, what are we doing? But it is making its way into college now, which makes sense with all the NIL. They're the third Big Ten school to get one. Wisconsin, I think, has Culver's. And then Michigan State has one. I'm actually not sure what Michigan State is. We could look it up. But now I wonder how quickly other universities are going to adapt to doing this. Because we see it everywhere now. I mean, we see it in a lot of soccer jerseys, too. But I think the WNBA has a few as well. The NBA's got it. So that's coming to your jerseys now, I guess.
It's here to stay.
Yeah.
You know it. Yeah.
It looks like Michigan State's is MSU Federal Credit Union. So at least it kind of fits with the color scheme. But yeah, it's crazy. It's on all their jerseys. So I mean, it's good marketing. Like you get like a big brand like Wisconsin and Michigan State and Illinois, and you just see Busey Bank or Culver's on there. It's you're definitely going to get your money's worth when you're watching that football game and they're on Fox or CBS and your logo's all over the place. So
that's right.
Yeah. I'm interested to see. There's 18 Big Ten teams. Three of them had decided to get one. I'm wondering how fast the trickle down effect will be, because in the NBA and Major League Baseball, it kind of flew in the last few years. I think every team in baseball has one. And I think the White Sox were one of the last ones to get one. And that was like this year or last year they decided to get one. So we'll see. I guess this is just the future of pro sports with the jersey logo patches.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Now, after the show, spend the next 24 hours refilling that head.
I'm already starting.
Yeah, I know.